Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today.
It's the Muppet Man, J-A-C. Write that down, Blake, because that's good.
The Muppet Man. I'm updating it right as we speak.
Yes, the Muppet Man, J-A-C.
The Muppet Man.
Welcome to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with proud music. I am neither Tony Romo. I might be Scooter from the Muppets now. I don't know.
No, I think it's just the Muppet Man.
The Muppet Man? Okay.
You are all the Muppets.
I am all of the Muppets. Nice. Okay. I can take it. I'd be glad to voice a Muppet. Like, you know, if one of them came to me and said, hey, we want you on the show. You know, you can voice so-and-so Muppet. I'll be like, yes. Because that's good, you know?
All of them.
Now I've updated it. All right. Now we know we've officially updated it.
Sweet.
We did it. Okay. Man. I am commonly referred to as the loudest guy in the room, but only when I'm playing the drums. I am your endless source of useless music knowledge. My name is Blake Mosley, a.k.a. Brosley, a.k.a. Emo Bemo.
Oh, that was scary.
Mm-hmm. I've been practicing.
And then there's me, Amanda Dolan. I may not know the name of the song, the artist, or the album like the others here, but chances are I will sing along loudly, proudly, and poorly. Just ask my kids. They'll also tell you I'm not a regular mom. I'm a witchy mom.
Witchy
mom. I put a spell on you.
Are you a witchy woman mom?
Ooh, yes, but yes. But really, I have the best cup today for this, which is my Hocus Pocus, put a spell on you cup that is amazing. And I love it because I don't care what either of you say. I think that it is Hocus Pocus is easily one of the top five Halloween movies.
Yes.
Well, that is actually my banter like question for both of you. Since it's October now, it's officially spooky season, even though spooky season starts for me September 1st. But anyway, yeah. So now that we're like, and by the way, folks, prepare yourself because we got all this month. It's all Halloween themed episodes. I look forward to doing this every year. We have so much fun with it.
Before you start, Blake, I want to give a big shout out to Doc Brass because he made the theme for
Halloween. Yes.
So it's, I don't know if Amanda's heard it, and I do apologize to Amanda. But
I don't know, y'all. Yeah, it's been.
She heard it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did because I feel there's a memory, but also it's.
Yeah.
It's October, and I am a mom, and that means like we are in school.
Yeah.
And like all the things are happening, and so
it's a great thing. He did just what I asked, and. And we can't be more grateful. So, Dr. Brass, if you're listening, thank you very much. I will contact you today.
Muchos gracias. Oh, now, absolutely. Wait,
okay, now you had a question about the five movies.
Yeah. So we're in spooky season. It's we're kicking off our Halloween episodes for the month of October. Amanda's got her Hocus Pocus mug. I've got my little ghost mug. I'm drinking some cider out of it.
Nice.
Delicious.
Apple cider.
All right, so it's apple cider. Nice. And my question for both of you, what is your go-to like Halloween movie? Doesn't have to be scary. It can just be like a good Halloween theme, but Amanda may have already answered hers.
Well, I'm strictly with Amanda because I think the Hocus Pocus 1, not 2, is the supreme version of them both. But I mean, If you're gonna do Halloween, do it right and just bring it on through with the Hocus Pocus. I mean, that's best Halloween movie, I think.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm definitely not a slasher like horror kind of girl in general, but like the Halloween Town and Hocus Pocus,
and
know that those are like kids, whatever movies, but Hocus Pocus is like classic.
Yeah,
just is. And, you know, Emily and I were in Salem a couple years ago. Just the two of us were on a little trip. And there's so much cool stuff in Salem, like all the like witchy.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a tour of all the places that are in the movie.
Yeah.
Like I just love all the Halloween-y things. You,
what's your go-to?
So I also love Hocus Pocus and I love Halloween Town. I think that there's Halloween movies for me as a kid were like, I don't know, like you always feel like your generation of like Halloween movies is better than everyone else's. I think that Disney Channel had a really great run with some Halloween themed movies, even like scary type of movies. Under Wraps. I loved Under Wraps. I love Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire and movies like that. Right. Those are all so good. But then like, you know, as I got older, I started getting into scary movies. I didn't like scary movies when I was a kid, terrified of anything remotely scary when I was a child. Now I love horror movies. Right. But I genuinely love the Halloween, like Michael Myers, movies. I love all of them. And one thing I really like about them is there is like, three different timelines that you could go, technically four, that you could go down if you ever just wanted to sit down and watch the movies. But they all, with the exception of Rob Zombie's, which are great, I really like Rob Zombie's Halloween movies, but you know, got to go with the original. You got to go with the original.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's
yeah. But that's kind of like the other one that's like technically could be a fourth different, like, one-off right. timeline kind of thing. But they, the cool thing about the Halloween movies is they all start with the original 1978 Halloween movie. And then you can go in this direction, and there's like six movies in this timeline. And or you can go with this one, and it's the one that's got like Busta Rhymes and one of them and Josh Harnett. But it kind of like gets rid of the other five movies, but it all starts with the original one. Or you could do the most recent ones that they've been doing, where you start with the original, and then you can jump forward 40 years and pick up with you know, Laurie Strode, like, as a grandmother, and like she's like a I love those because she's like she's learned all about like survival, and she's got like her house is like has all these traps set up because she's just anticipating Michael coming back for it. It's so good. I love just the Halloween franchise. It does a great job of like capturing the feel of Halloween because it takes place on Halloween. It's I love it.
Although I will encourage you all to watch Once Bitten with Jim Carrey. That's a fantastic.
I've never seen that.
That's a fantastic comedy Halloween movie. Yeah.
Okay.
So
have you seen that one?
It's
Amanda?
Interesting. No, but I just decided to like Google, you know, top best Halloween movies, and so Variety.com has a list. Halloween, the original, is number one. Hocus Pocus, the original Hocus Pocus, is two.
Okay.
And then there's some that I'm like, eh, like, yes, but also like The Nightmare Before Christmas. Okay.
That's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, you get deny that.
Yeah.
Christmas movie.
E.T., which I guess like it's kind of starts.
Could be both.
Like E.T., is that Halloween?
No, that's not Halloween at all.
Okay, this is the one that I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it. Karate Kid.
What?
During
Halloween, I think, but it's not technically a Halloween movie.
Yeah. Correct. I agree with that. But a lot of these are not. But then Casper, this is one that popped up, which is one that I kind of was like in my childhood, the one with Christina Ritchie. Oh, and like that was, it's like a love story, but it's like a cute love story because they're kids.
Yeah.
And then like she's trying. So yeah, like it's, I like that one, but there are a couple on here. I'm like, really? Because, oh my gosh, Ernest Scared Stupid.
That one is good. I do love Ernest Scared Stupid. I do love that one.
This one, Practical Magic, which again, like it's a witchy movie, but it's not really Halloween. It's just.
Practical Magic think that, is the one with, is that the one with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
Yes, and Nicole Kidman.
I'm thinking about.
You're thinking of the right one. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking about
Craft.
The
one. Oh,
yeah. That's a good one.
That one's got
a scary one.
And so, okay.
The girl from The Wonder Boy.
Is a witchy, like, is a movie that has witches in it, is that a Halloween movie?
I mean, it's kind of themed around that, but then, like, but then you could argue that any type of, like, slasher movie would be a Halloween movie. And I don't know.
What was interesting is that they put on this list, I want to double check, but I think it was Scream 6, which is the one that came out in 23.
Yeah.
That one takes place on Halloween. Because it takes place on Halloween. That is a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
But like the original Scream, while I love the whole Scream series, I'm not going to like, but they're not Halloween movies. It's not like they're horror films or, but they're not Halloween. But Scream 6 takes place at Halloween. It's a Halloween. Yeah. Like, I will give them that.
Well, technically, can't you say that with the Freddy movies and Jason movies that are not Halloween movies?
Well, like, and that's the thing, too. None of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies that I can think of, like, take place on Halloween. They're just scary movies. They're just horror movies. So you kind of find yourself in this weird debate because, like, all right, let's think in comparison. There are a ton of Christmas movies, like ton of Christmas themed,
like Die Hard,
right? And then there are movies like Die Hard where it takes place on Christmas. So then people technically say, well, it's a Christmas movie. Batman Returns also takes place around Christmas. Yeah. So people say it's a Christmas movie. Yeah. But there's way more Christmas movies to choose from. So in that sense, I'm always like, is it a Christmas movie? Does Christmas have anything to do with it?
Like, no, let me ask this. Is Coco?
I never seen it.
So Coco is a Day of the Dead movie.
Right.
Which is like which is November 1st. Is that right?
Right.
November 1st. So yeah, I guess that would technically make Coco, and I love Coco.
Oh, it's great.
It's such a good movie. And I've always been intrigued by Day of the Dead and Sugar Skulls and the whole thing. Like I love it. But yeah, I guess Coco would be a Halloween movie.
Yes.
No. Because if we're just going to say scary movies or Halloween movies.
Yeah.
That one is, I mean, because Halloween is All Hallows Eve, right? It's like the day before All Saints Day or, you know, like I think that's the thing is that Halloween is really around. It's ghosts, but it's like your loved ones. It's like remembering the people that like your family that came before you. It's not really originally it was not designed to be scary. It was designed to be about honoring your loved ones.
It is the time of the year when the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest. So you are able to cross over and communicate with your loved ones is what it's all about. It's how it originated.
And then it morphed candy. And it changed. And then it became all about candy. And you know, because I am like the worst because anymore I don't leave my light on for trick-or-treaters because my dogs go crazy.
Sure.
And I get grumpy and then no one's happy.
True. Right.
But several years ago when I was the president of the PTA.
Okay.
I was trying to get more PTA members. I didn't need you to be involved in anything. I just wanted you to sign up and pay your $7 to be a member so we could get our numbers up.
Right.
And so would you like to know how I did so? And it was successful. So obviously, like I live in a neighborhood and my neighborhood is directly attached to the school my kids were in. So lots of the parents that came by were parents, the kids that went to my kids' school. So we had treats for kids and treats for adults. So I had little shot glasses and I had whiskey and I had vodka and we took shots. And let me tell you that like, it may not seem like much, but I got like 7 or 8 people to sign up in that one night.
I can imagine.
Did I check IDs? No, but I figure like if you have a 6-year-old, I'm going to make an assumption that you're old enough.
Right.
I'm making assumptions here. I guess it's possible not to, but but it was so much fun. And then like it got conversations going. I met some new people. It worked out really well.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to like, it's so easy as a parent to hear, go knock on the door, trick or treat. Thank you. And walk away. But if we were sitting outside, like in my front lawn with chairs and a table with a bowl of candy and 2 bottles of liquor and mini shot glasses or plastic, like disposable shot glasses. And that's
got it going on.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So like I like trick or treating like that, but now my kids are older and it's not the same.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's different. And even like the times that I've been trick or treating with like my niece or nephew, my godkids, like I'm always like, man, it's just not what it used to be. Like, you know, it feels a little more dangerous now. It's not like just turn the kids loose and let them run around every neighborhood.
Except if you go to like churches, cause they do like trunk or treats.
Like trunk or treats. Yeah. But even then,
or
like,
fall festival, yeah, but it's not the same.
Yeah. It's just not the same. Not. Right. Exactly.
And then,
right.
Like something that happens around here. I don't know about where y'all are, but there are people who they literally drive their kid from house to house. Like they're not walking down the street. They're not.
Yeah.
You know, I remember It was the either the year before or the year after Halloween we went trick-or-treating with some friends, and it was my daughter's best friend, and I good friends with her parents. And so, like, Kathleen and I, we had, like, our travel cups with a lid, and we were just sipping on our wine and letting the kids run around and do their thing. And then the dads, you know, they were also, you know, doing the kid thing with us. Yeah. And it was so fun because it was like, it was social for all of us. And now my kids are older. It's just not the same. And I'm not a big, I struggle with costumes. I never know what to dress up as. I think about it like the day before, and then I'm scrambling, and then I'm annoyed. And so then I just say, screw it.
I don't remember two of my costumes of my whole life, which is bad, which is sad. I remember dressing up one year as a ninja, and the other one as a lion. And I do have pictures of the one as a lion.
Well,
so that's my only two things that I remember.
I feel like I've told you all my favorite adult Halloween costume that I had, but I will tell you again. I was not interested in dressing up particularly. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I got a brown, like, sash sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I put Troop 420, and then I had patches that were joints and pot leaves.
Like a
and so it was a pot man. Brownie.
Right.
Because, you know, brownies wear the brown uniforms, and then when you become a... So yeah, it was pot brownie.
Nice. How clever.
And then I could wear my regular clothes. I just had this like little sash on, and it was so easy.
Look at you thrive. That's what I'm talking about. How creative. Right,
it is.
Yeah.
And like, it was for an adult party, so it was not like there's a bunch of kids around that I had to explain it to.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And that was the year, I think, Richard, he went as Superman, where he wore a Superman t-shirt under a button-down shirt.
I love
that. Just unbuttoned it a little bit so you could see the S. And then he like had glasses, but they were not his real glasses, so he could take them on and off. It was, again,
creative, easy,
comfortable.
Comfortable, absolutely.
Because
I've
always felt like, and I'm going to just say it, Halloween feels like for women, girls, whatever, women, 18 to, well, to whenever, it is like their chance to dress slutty. And not that you can, provocatively. Like, that's not, but it's like we can't other times of the year. So it's like, this is our one chance to like wear what, like, and show off without people making judgments about us as much.
Right.
And part of me is like, ugh, why does it have to be that way? But also, why does it have to be that way? Like, both ways. Like, we should just be able to wear what we want every day of the year.
Absolutely. I agree.
But like, but a sexy nurse is just, or police officer, or.
And I agree with you. And it's the only time that I feel pretty is Halloween, when I can wear my nurse outfit. And I get to go to my parties, and I get to dance around in my nurse outfit. And if there's one thing that I love about a Halloween party, it's the music that they have at Halloween parties.
Especially this next song.
This is a just great song.
It is.
Segue? How was that?
That was a great segue.
All right. Yeah. All right. No, I agree. Like, trick-or-treating and stuff, you know, obviously as you get older, it becomes different. And it's different when you're an adult, comparing it to like what kids have to do now with trick-or-treating, and just the safety is gone. But you can still enjoy Halloween just in a different way. Like, Halloween parties are so fun. I've been to some really fun Halloween parties. And one of my favorite parts is dressing up and like coming up with a costume. But the music has always been what I looked forward to. Like, what are you going to play at the Halloween party?
And I mean, I think we did this last year, but like the, what is it? One Eye, One Horn, Fun People Eater. Right. Yeah. That's, that is like, to me, that is like the Halloween song. But
good,
this one is
good,
also
like Halloween novelty. Yeah.
I put a spell on you. Like, those are all.
I put a spell.
But
that is a great. Yeah.
This one
is great. And I would argue that it wasn't meant to be a Halloween song, but it is on every single Halloween playlist I've ever heard. And it's been featured in some really great Halloween or spooky type movies. I love the Haunted Mansion. It's my favorite ride at Disney World. I love the original like Haunted Mansion Eddie Murphy movie. I love the new one. And this song was actually featured in both in like the on the soundtracks and the and I was really upset. I texted you both earlier. There was a cover of this song, Superstition by Stevie Wonder. There was a cover that they played in the closing credits of of the new one. And I could not find the song online. I found the artist, found everything I could about the artist, could not find the song itself. It drove me nuts. That's so weird. If you want to hear what I'm talking about, watch the new Haunted Mansion movie and then just listen for the cover of Superstition that plays in the closing credits. But but to make up for it, I found another cover that was used in the original Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy. But we'll get to that in just a minute. But yeah, Superstition, what a great song to begin with and a song you can listen to all year round, but it works so well as a Halloween song. It just has a kind of like an eerie feel all around the subject matter, talking about, you know, different types of superstitions. It's just, I don't know. I think it's great. It's a great Halloween song.
It is.
Well, let's dive in. Let's learn a little bit about this song. This is a cover wars of Superstition, by the way, if you haven't figured it out by now. If you're not paying attention, you didn't read the title of an episode, what are you doing? So
go get your coffee.
Sorry, I'm angry. Let me chill out real quick. Hey,
which, pause, we need to have a episode about things that we... theories, what's, I can't think of the word, conspiracy theories, because Stevie Wonder, not blind.
Not blind. I agree. I stand by that.
Not blind.
Yep. I would stand blind. By it forever. Not, there we go. Yep. At least not fully blind. Like he, I'm not saying he's got 20/20 vision.
He's like Daredevil.
Yes.
Like Daredevil can kind of see.
Yes.
The world on fire.
Right.
I wonder if he's ever, that's mean, not going to say it. Anyway, Superstition is a song by American singer-songwriter Stevie Wonder. All right, I might as well say it because everyone's going to wonder. I wonder if Stevie Wonder has ever dressed up as Daredevil for Halloween.
Ooh.
Yeah, there. Big, great, great idea.
Greatest Halloween costume on earth.
Yep, there you go.
Well,
anyway, yes, Superstition is a song by American singer-songwriter Stevie Wonder. It was released on October 24th. Look at there, right at Halloween, boom, 1972, right as the lead single from his 15th studio album Talking Book, in 1972 by Tamla. The lyrics describe popular superstitions and their negative effects. Pretty straightforward. Superstition reached number one in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 in January of 1973 and on the Soul singles chart. It was Wonder's first number one single since Fingertips Part 2 in 1963. It peaked at number 11 on the UK singles chart in February of 1973. And in November of 2004, Rolling Stone ranked the song number 74 on its list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. It was re-ranked number 73 on its 2010 list and number 12 on the 2021 list. So it like slowly worked its way up over time and then made a huge jump. That's incredible.
Nice.
At the 16th Grammy Awards, the song earned Wonder two Grammys, Best Rhythm and Blues Song and Best R&B Vocal Performance Male. And then in 1998, the song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. It's a bop.
Yeah.
A spooky bop. Ooh. Jeff Beck was an admirer of Wonder's music, and Wonder had was informed of this prior to the Talking Book album sessions. Although at this point he was playing virtually all the instruments on his songs by himself, Wonder preferred to let other guitarists play on his records, and he liked the idea of a collaboration with Beck. An agreement was quickly made for Beck to become involved in the sessions that became the Talking Book album, in return for Wonder writing him a song. Between the album sessions, Beck came up with the opening drum beat, which I think is iconic because you know what it is the second it starts going, which is hard to do on a drum set, by the way, because everything can tend to sound the same. So kudos to him for thinking of something that stood out like that. Wonder told Beck to keep playing while he improvised over the top of it. He improvised most of the song, including the riff, right there on the spot. Beck and Wonder created a rough demo for the song that day. And after finishing the song, Wonder decided that he would allow Beck to record Superstition as part of their agreement. And originally, the plan was for Beck to release his version of the song first with his newly formed power trio, Beck, Bogert, and Apiche. Apiche. I don't know.
Okay.
However, due to the combination, words are hard. Yeah. However, due to the combination of the trio's debut album getting delayed and Motown CEO Berry Gordy's prediction that Superstition would be a huge hit and greatly increase the sales of Talking Book, Wonder released the song as the Talking Book lead single months ahead of Beck's version, the latter being issued in March 1973 on the Beck Bogart. And here we go again.
Apiche, like Vinny Appice, the drummer.
Okay,
Vinny
works Appice. For me.
You ever heard of Vinny Appice?
No.
And you're a drummer.
I'm uncultured swine.
Oh my God, Blake.
I don't know what you're talking
Vinny
about.
Vinny Appice played in, I think he played in Black Sabbath, maybe for a
moment. Nope, I don't know.
And I don't know.
Didn't know that.
Look it up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I want to listen to some songs. Right, now, okay. I'll just take your word for it because I trust you, buddy.
Nice. Thank you. okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what a great song. Again, like just featured on every single Halloween playlist I've ever heard. And just that is such an iconic riff that plays over the top of it and just gets you in the Halloween mood.
There you go. You know.
Yeah. But we got some great covers, especially this next one.
I also love this cover.
This is a great cover. And both of these have really fun music videos too. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's talk about Stevie Ray Vaughan. This one's a pretty well known cover, I believe. But let's talk about him real quick, just in case you're not familiar with Mr. Vaughan. Stevie Ray Vaughan, also known as SRV. Was born October 3rd, 1954, and passed away August 27th, 1990. He was an American musician, best known as the guitarist and frontman of the blues rock trio Stevie Ray Vaughan and the Double Trouble. Although his mainstream career spanned only 7 years, he is regarded as one of the most influential musicians in the history of blues music and one of the greatest guitarists of all time. He was the younger brother of guitarist Jimmy Vaughan. Born and raised in Dallas, Vaughan began playing guitar at age 7, initially inspired by his brother Jimmy. In 1972, he dropped out of high school and moved to Austin, where he began to gain a following after playing gigs at the local club circuit. Vaughan joined forces with Tommy Shannon on bass and Chris Layton on drums as Double Trouble in 1978. The band established itself in the Austin music scene and soon became one of the most popular acts in Texas. Shout out to you, Amanda.
That's right.
They performed at the Montreux Jazz Festival in July of 1982, where David Bowie saw Vaughan play. Bowie contacted him for a studio gig in December, where he played blues guitar on the album Let's Dance, released in 1983. John Hammond heard a demo album that Vaughan and Double Trouble had recorded and interested major label Epic Records in signing them to a record deal in March of 1983, and within months, they achieved mainstream success for the critically acclaimed debut album, Texas Blood, with a series of successful network television appearances and extensive concert tours. Vaughan became the leading figure in the blues revival of the 1980s and had a great hat and a great head for his hat. Vaughan struggled with alcoholism, unfortunately, and drug addiction for most of his life. He also struggled with the personal and professional pressures of fame and his marriage to Lenora Lenny Bailey. He successfully completed rehabilitation and began touring again with Double Trouble in November of 1986. His fourth and final studio album, In Step, reached number 33 in the United States, in 1989. It was one of Vaughan's most critically and commercially successful releases and included his only number one hit, Crossfire. What a great song. He became one of the world's most popular blues performers, and he headlined Madison Square Garden in 1989 and the Beale Street Music Festival in 1990. Sadly, however, on August 27th, 1990, Vaughn and four others were killed in a helicopter crash in East Troy, Wisconsin, after performing with Double Trouble at the Alpine Valley Music Theater. An investigation concluded that the cause of the accident was pilot error. And Vaughn's music continued to achieve commercial success with several posthumous releases and has sold over 15 million albums in the United States alone. Rolling Stone has twice ranked him among the top 20 guitar players of all time. Vaughn was posthumously inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2015, along with Double Trouble bandmates Chris Layton and Tommy Shannon, along with Reese Winans.
And here's a little bit of useless knowledge, Blake, but did you know that cool. his brother plays in the band Enough is Enough?
No, I did not know that. Okay. How about that?
Yeah, that's cool. Right.
Add that to your back pocket for when you go to music trivia at the brewery. So
trivia, right.
But yeah, like I said earlier, both of these songs have some really fun music videos we're going to kind of like react to. So, but what a great cover, what a great guitarist, talented person all around, gone way too soon. So sad, but man, he left us quite a legacy, right? That we could look back on. So, James, you got that pulled up? You want to take a listen? Let's see what Mr. Vaughn has going on with his tribute to one Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Can you see this?
Nope.
You can't see this.
I sure can't.
Amanda?
Sure can't see it.
I can see some writing, but I definitely see cannot see. Yeah, I see notes. I don't see.
Okay. Your notes.
Oh, no. I hear it.
Hear the song.
Hear the song, but you can't. All right, okay, so
but I can't see the video.
All right, so let's do share. I'll edit this out.
Okay.
All right, let's see your desktop 2, Firefox. Okay. How about that?
There we go.
There we go. Amanda?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Perfect.
Spooky cat.
Okay, you saw the black cat, right? Okay, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Don't crack. That poor cat. They just keep like knocking the cat around. Superstition.
Oh no. Superstition fade away.
Drummer, man, they suffer the worst fate. Look at this guy. Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. Stupid cat, man.
They were right, they were kind of mean to the cat though, so I guess they had it coming.
All you listeners, you can't never trust a black cat.
I guess they had it coming.
Yeah, especially the guy who got electrocuted. You know,
yeah,
with his car. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, they kept like knocking the cat over, like trying to. You know, they could have just like picked the cat up and set him outside, but no, you just had to be rude to the cat. So you had it coming. Yeah.
How could they possibly do that?
I don't know. Cats are.
I mean, I couldn't have done it. I'm allergic to cats. I would have had to just let someone else handle it. But
right, me too. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, but great.
But I mean, if I'm not allergic to cats, but yes, that was very bluesy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was more bluesy than Stevie's because I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan is the blues guitarist for anybody.
Yeah.
No. And that came out really, really good. And I love the fact that he always was playing the guitar.
Yes.
You know, with the, I guess you would call it muted or like palm.
Palm muted.
Palm muted. Yes. I love that. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. What a talented
same word. So I don't think he changed the words a lot, which is great.
Yeah. You know, no, it was. There were no changes from, you know, lyrics wise or anything like that. Just a really. A good,
solid
homage to Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
Two Stevies, the powerhouse duo. So.
There you go. Amanda, what was your thoughts?
I mean, it's one, like Stevie Ray Vaughan and guitar. I just could listen to him.
Oh yeah.
Play all day long. But yeah, I mean, it's very, it's great cover, but it's also very like same, like on track with. With what like you recognize it, you know exactly what it is. There's no question, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's definitely bluesy.
Yeah.
The cat in the beginning with that just makes me giggle.
It's good. I guess they all had it coming though because they broke every single like superstitious rule that you're not supposed to break.
I don't know who got it worse.
The ladder, they stepped on a crack, he broke a mirror. The list goes on.
Who got it worse, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stevie was okay. Yeah. He can't, I mean, he was fine. Yeah, going on. Probably because he, like, the cat took pity on him because he was just like melting faces with his guitar solo.
Yes.
So the cat was like, you know what?
Was nicer.
Yeah, I'm old.
Stevie left the cat alone.
Yeah, he's obviously a cat person.
Right.
But anyway. Now this next one again.
So I didn't know about this, but she's a singer, and I had no idea.
She had She had a very brief moment where she was like, and it was kind of like the trend back then, early 2000s, like Disney Channel stars also trying to make it in the music business. It seemed like every Disney Channel actor, actress. You name it, they were all like trying to also make it in music. Disney had a record label, so a lot of times it just kind of came with the territory. Like you had a hit TV show or a movie, oh, here's my debut album, by the way. Everybody did.
Right.
So, and some of them were really successful. Some of them went on to have very, very, very successful music careers, like Demi Lovato. She started out as a Disney Channel actress. Sabrina Carpenter, who's really big right now, kind of the same thing. I'd say Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah, for sure. Hillary Duff had like a pretty successful music career for a little bit there, but she was definitely more known for her.
Of course, she had Cyrus and Justin Timberlake.
Miley Cyrus, that was just the trend back then. But yeah, Raven Simone was a great singer. Like she had a lot of talent. Yeah.
Yes, she was for sure.
Yeah.
She got her start with the Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show. The way back in the Cosby Show. She had a part on the Cosby Show.
Olivia played.
And I loved That's So Raven. Like I love that show. I thought it was so funny. Yeah. Watched it all the time. Yeah, and that's around whenever this song came out. So but yeah, let's get into it. So Raven Simone, Christina Perriman, Maday. It's a lot. No wonder she just goes by Raven, because that's a mouthful.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Born December 10th, 1985. Also known mononymously as Raven, just Raven, which also fits with the spooky theme, Raven.
Whoa. Really does.
Edgar Allan
Poe. Quoth Raven, nevermore.
Yeah. All right. By the way, real quick, pause. Fall of the House of Usher. Have y'all seen it on Netflix?
Oh, no. Yes. Oh, my gosh. So it was so good.
So good.
And like I want to talk about it, but we won't. But oh my gosh.
We'll talk about it later.
Because
I watched it last year. Yeah.
The final or one of the final scenes with it hits.
So good. Mike Flanagan, great director, he's done a lot of great movies. Well, Bly Manor.
Hill House.
Yeah.
One more, I think, that's in that same
Midnight Mass, Midnight They're Club, so good. Hush, you name and it.
He's got
Oculus.
The same. I can't think of the guy that did something guest. I think he did all of the Best in Show, the one with the folk music. I can't think of it, but it's like him. He's got all the same crew of actors or a lot of repeats.
His wife is in a lot of the movies. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And what I love about that is it creates I don't know. They have a good, solid working relationship.
Right. Yeah.
So it creates a better chemistry or whatever you want to call it on screen.
Yeah. So I agree. I think he's a phenomenal director. He's doing a Exorcist reboot here soon. Looking forward to that. Right. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. But yes, Fall of the House of Usher. It's all about different stories of Edgar Allan Poe's kind of modernized, kind of tying together in this really cool Netflix series. It's only one season of it, but it's really great. Highly recommend everyone go watch it.
Yeah, but they're it's designed to be one season. Like you get the, it's a mini series.
It's a one and
almost.
Done. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like it leaves you hanging oh my gosh, I wish that, I don't know what happened at the end. Great. So
absolutely. Yes. Let's see. Raven, sorry, the singer, has received several accolades, including 5 NAACP Image Awards, 2 Kids' Choice Awards, 3 Young Artist Awards, and 4 Emmy Award nominations. In 2012, she was included on VH1's list of 100 Greatest Child Stars of All Time. Raven Simone began her career as a child actress, appearing as Olivia Kendall. There you go. On The Cosby Show from 1989 to 1992. Nicole Lee on Hanging with Mr. Cooper from 93 to 97, both of which earned her a number of awards and nominations. When she was 15 years old, she landed the role of Raymond Baxter on the Disney Channel television series That's So Raven, which lasted from 2003 to 2007, for which she earned numerous awards. She reprised the character on the spinoff series Raven's Home from 2017 to 2023. I didn't realize it went that long, the spinoff did. Good Lord. Which she was also as executive producer on. So her film credits include Dr. Dolittle in 1988, Eddie Murphy, great movie. Its sequel, Dr. Dolittle 2 in 2001, The Princess Diaries 2, 2004, College Road Trip, 2008, and Mighty Oak in 2020. Her television film credits include Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, 1999. Hello, love that movie. Its second sequel, Xenon 3, in 2004. The Cheetah Girls, very iconic, 2003.
Yep.
Its sequel, The Cheetah Girls 2, in 2006. For One Night in 2006. And Revenge of the Bridesmaids in 2010. She also voiced Monique in the animated series Kim Possible. Loved Kim Possible. From 2002 to 2007. Danielle in the comedy film Fat Albert.
Hey.
In 2004. And Iridessa in the fantasy film Tinkerbell in 2008. Raven Simone.
Tinkerbell.
Yeah, Tinkerbell. Raven Simone has also directed episodes for several series, including Raven's Home, Bunked. I like Bunked. Bunked is good. Bunked is fun. Sydney to the Max, Pretty Freaking Scary. I haven't seen that one yet. I think that's like a new Disney Channel thing. And the Miss Pat Show. Yeah. Raven Simone released her debut studio album, at the age of 7. Here's to New Dreams, which was released in 1993, which she saw the moderate commercial success of the single That's What Little Girls Are Made Of. Her subsequent studio album, Undeniable, in 1999, This Is My Time, in 2004, and Raven Simone in 2008, saw some commercial success on the Billboard 200 chart in the U.S. She also contributed vocals to several soundtracks from her Disney projects, including Cheetah Girls 2003, That's So Raven 2004, That's So Raven 2 in 2006, and The Cheetah Girls in 2006, several of which were certified platinum and gold. She was also a co-host of the ABC daytime talk show The View from 2015 to 2016. She has hosted and executive produced the pilot of the 2021 reality show What Not to Design. And as we're about to see, she also contributed to the blockbuster, hands down, one of the greatest Halloween movies of all time, even though it's not set on Halloween, Haunted Mansion 2003 with Eddie Murphy. I think it's a masterpiece. So many people don't think that it's a masterpiece. And to them, I say, good day, sir.
good day, sir.
I don't need you in my life. I don't need the negativity. It's a great movie. This is a great song. It's a fun music video, and we're going to have a blast reacting to it right here.
All right.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
All right. So here we go. Let me turn up the volume, and here we go in 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, they said the party's here, so let's get it cracking.
What kind of phone is that?
Right, yeah. This was way before the iPhone came out.
Was she texting on an Excel spreadsheet?
I don't know.
It was a DOS computer.
Right.
Keep me
All right, y'all. No more surprise parties.
Okay, that reminds me, and we reacted to it a couple of years ago. We did like our favorite Halloween or scary music videos that we remember that, James? Remember when we did that?
Yeah.
And right. Like it ended up not being able, it got taken down off of YouTube because of copyright laws. But anyway, we reacted to the Backstreet Boys music video for Backstreet's Back, which feels a lot like what they just did. So.
Should we tell Amanda what you think about it? He was so frightened.
I was terrified of that music video when I was a child. Absolutely.
Really?
Terrified, yes. Loved the Backstreet Boys, was scared to death of that music video, and Thriller. I couldn't watch Thriller when I was a kid.
Thriller still frightened me today, but I don't understand how you were afraid of
terrified.
Yeah,
you're right. So, Thriller, I never liked it particularly one way or the other, but I spent a semester in Italy, and the gelato shop that we went to played the Thriller music video on repeat all day, every day. Like it was just,
that's a long music video too.
Repeat. Well,
it's
it is
a short film. Yeah.
But like, I mean, you think walk into a place in the middle of Rome, you get gelato. Like you don't sit there for much longer than one Thriller video worth. So, but it was just that it was on repeat. So I saw it a lot. Got to know it well.
Well, that music video feels a lot like that Backstreet's Back music video but it's still fun. It's definitely a sign of the times, though. Like 2003, the choreography, the clothes, whatever kind of device she pulled up at the very beginning. I guess was a GPS. Maybe it was a.
That looked like a Nokia
phone. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
You were too young to have phones like that.
I mean, it looks like something out of Spy Kids, whatever Spy it was Kids, that she pulled out.
Yeah.
But you know, still, it's still good. There's some autotune in there. You could tell what they were doing at the time was like, let's take this old song and let's try to modernize it as much as we possibly can. So that's what she got.
Let me ask y'all this. Was that a MIDI file playing in the background? Because that did not sound like any like instrument.
I don't know. It's a lot. There's so much.
I think this is like a backing track, and that's what took me off of this version.
There,
she sings very, very soulfully. She's got a beautiful voice, you know? Mm-hmm. But when I listened to that version, I kind of like that's it wasn't as funky as Stevie Ray Vaughan's. With that said, that's a good version. Okay. I don't think I really like it as much as I did with the spoiler alert, mm-hmm. I mean but how about you, Amanda?
No, I like, so I love Raven. Like I just in general,
she's great.
I grew up on a lot of like the stuff that she was in. Like the Cosby Show was something that I watched growing up. And then she came in like the cute little Olivia, right? She was. So I'm fond of her in general. I think that she's talented and that was fun. Like it was fun. And she is a great, she has a beautiful voice. Like, yes, there was the auto-tune going, all of that. But it was fun. And it was exactly what it was made to be.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like, it was like for a certain group of people doing a certain thing. And it did that, I think.
Yeah.
And you know what I also like? This is what I like about both versions doing with their videos. I loved Raven's because it was kind of like a storyline, said by Michael Jackson, like, and then when you had Steve Ray Vaughan's version of the video, black cats were synonymous with superstition, and everything that the cat did brought bad stuff to the band members. I loved it. I loved both videos equally. I think that they brought the song to life with them. But if we wanted to talk about the actual song, which we are, I got to give mine to Stevie Ray Vaughan's. I'm not sure if we want to get into that right now, but yeah, yeah. Stevie Ray Vaughan is one. Yep.
Okay. Amanda, awesome. How about you?
I have to go for Raven just because that's...
Going with Raven. Okay.
Yeah. Stevie Ray, great, but not the same. So look at you.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're
the tiebreaker.
Down to me.
1-1, man. 1-1, buddy.
Okay. All right. I honorable mention to the, I'm looking her name back up, to Nika Hamilton was who I originally wanted to do because she's the one that's featured on the new Haunted Mansion ending credits, but could not find it online right. anywhere. Please
I looked
go
too.
Look at it.
Well, we, yeah, I tried to find it. I couldn't find
yeah,
it.
Couldn't
either.
Find
and
it.
And I can find right. things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, if we, yeah, there's no, one thing yeah. we know, you or Allie are going to be able to find it.
Female Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, you can still hear it if you watch the new Haunted Mansion movie, which I love. It's great. But it is in the end credits, and it's really good. I just hate that I could not find it online anywhere to play it for you. But if I had to compare, I would pick hers over Stevie Ray Vaughan. But if I need to choose between Stevie Ray Vaughan and Raven, I'm going to go with Stevie Ray just because of that was also a live track. Might I add, like Stevie Ray Vaughan's cover is a live version of it. And it was incredible. Fun music video. I love Raven's music video as well, because I love like campy old school early 2000s music videos. That time period was really fun for me. The Disney Channel era that was going on at that time was just a lot of fun. Yeah. So, but I'm gonna go with Stevie Ray as far as the covers between the two. But huge shout out to Nika Hamilton and her most recent cover. And maybe one day it'll pop up online and we can do a cover wars again on this
we'll
song or something.
Year.
Yeah, but so good. Yes. Or, I hate I couldn't find it. It was a mess. Yeah. But.
Or if you find it before Halloween is over, Blake, we can
just
we can
have a little mini episode. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where we just listen to it and react to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I have to run, but these guys are going to finish up this Halloween episode. Stay tuned for the whole month of Halloween episodes that we've got for you guys. We've got more cover wars. We got some more topics we're going to discuss. I'm really looking forward to it.
We got more interviews potentially.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun month.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to dip out. Happy Halloween to all of you, to you guys as well. And I'll catch you guys on the next one.
Awesome.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Awesome. Right. Well.
Yeah. So that's fun. You know, but if you're talking about music, I personally think that, Steve Ray. But if you talk about videos, I would gladly give it to Raven. I mean, that was amazing, amazing video, hands down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was spectacular. Yeah. I rather enjoyed. I mean, all of them. I like them all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
all
it's
the
so
music
hard
all the time. You
know? Yeah. It's so hard sometimes. You know.
It is. Anyway. But it's you know. So. We're lucky that we have so many. Options for music now, and that is what I want to talk about in our mental health minute, is gratitude for things. So I'm grateful for music, and when you show gratitude, there are benefits to your mental health and overall well-being. It can be hard to show gratitude sometimes, so we'll get into that. But showing gratitude can improve your mood. It boosts feelings of happiness, and it can reduce symptoms of depression. It can reduce stress because you're focusing on the positive, and it can improve your resilience in those challenging situations, can help with better sleep. And this is specifically if you journal about what you're grateful for before bed, it gets some of that negative stuff out so you're not ruminating. It can enhance relationships. Specifically when you express gratitude to the people that you love. So like, thank you so much for, I'm grateful for whatever. And it creates bonds and deeper connections. And who doesn't want to heal? I'm great here. I'm grateful for you. It can increase your empathy. Grateful individuals often exhibit higher levels of empathy and are more willing to help each other. And it can boost your self-esteem because it helps you see what all that you have, what there is good in your life, what's good about you, all of those things. So I know that lots of us struggle with gratitude, and people are like, oh, like just keep a gratitude journal, or, and that can be hard because it can sometimes feel really hard to find things you're grateful for. And because some days you just don't, you're not feeling it. So I encourage that, like, you to find things you're grateful for. Like, I'm grateful that I have a tea kettle that makes my water hot so I can make my tea in the morning. Or, you know, I'm grateful that I have sheets on my bed. I'm grateful that I had toothpaste this morning. It doesn't, you don't have to find lots. Like, it doesn't need to be. I'm grateful for the many blessings that I have in my life, including my children and my partner and my dogs. And I'm grateful. No, like just a couple words. I'm grateful that the sun is shining. You don't need much more than that. And just take a minute to, like, appreciate the things that you have. Even the little things. And actually, don't overlook those little things. I think sometimes the little things are what make, that's what makes life. Right? It's absolutely all those little things. Yeah. And because not every day is going to be like a big day. So yeah, enjoy it. Have fun. Find the little things that you're grateful for and then move on and find another little thing. And I do encourage a gratitude journal. I don't encourage the idea of, like, I have to write a certain number of things every day. I also really like the idea of a gratitude journal in your phone, like in your notes, or even a document on your computer, or just a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be like a true journal. Just, you know, when you see something you're grateful for, write it down. And then you can look back at it, and the end of a year or the end of a week, you can be like, oh, it was a really good week or a year, whatever. And you can repeat.
Yes.
You don't have to be like, oh, I said I was grateful for my tea kettle last week, so I can't say it again. No, I can be grateful for my tea kettle every dang day because I love tea.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people are grateful. Or like, I don't think that they say they're grateful for something every day except for around Thanksgiving. You know, I think a lot of people are supposedly thankful for Thanksgiving only on that day because it's giving thanks to,
I think,
you know, whatever they want to. But I don't think they should do it every day, just like you said, you know, because when you boost yourself up, life would be better for you long run.
And also, like, when you tell other people you're grateful for them, don't do it just on their birthday or on your wedding anniversary or Thanksgiving. You know, let people know that you're grateful for them all the time. Because, like, you don't know.
Blake and I are grateful for you.
I'm grateful
for coming on
for y'all.
Broadcasting,
I told you I've had a day today.
Yeah.
And this was what I needed. It's
this was good, right?
Yeah. So, you know, this is the stuff that I'm grateful for, is that I get to have people in my life that are just amazing humans. And so tell people you're grateful for them. Even if, you know, and it doesn't have to say be I'm grateful for you. It can be a thank you. Like the person that, you know, helps you. I'm short. So like if I need to get something down from the top, you know, shelf at the grocery store, I can't reach it. Like just say thank you for something. Like that shows gratitude too. So when like that really tall guy, you know, pulls the cereal down or whatever from the top shelf, I am grateful for that. And so just a thank you. And an awareness that there are people out there that want to help. Like that is something you can be grateful for. So
nice.
All the little things, all the small things.
Small things.
Sorry.
I love you. That's great.
Look at what you all have turned me into.
Blake would be proud of you because that's a Blake 182.
I know. I just,
and he missed it, right?
I think it's funny that like, I just can, I'm sorry y'all for my voice that I'm not the best singer in the world, but I'm learning. I'm learning like all the songs and the lyrics. It's so much fun. So
I think you have a fantastic voice. I don't know why you hate. I don't want that sound like a Muppet.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. You're the Muppet man now. Like you are the man.
I am the Muppet man. I doubt myself that.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I no, I don't, because you are. You are the man.
Yeah, there we go. And I'm not a, you know, I don't, anybody can call me the bumbling man. I do not get easily offended, so go ahead.
Oh,
I do
I
not
mean,
care.
No, so. And, you know, it's, I don't even know what I was going to say. That is the kind of it day I'm having. Like, so, do you have anything else, James?
I do not. Okay. I do not. So let's close this up.
Awesome. Well, thanks, y'all, for listening to the show today. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you can. And if you'd like to follow the show on social media, we are on Facebook, X, I still want to call it Twitter, Instagram, yeah, and TikTok. Just search for When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, and you will find us.
I wonder why they kept it bird instead of, like, Twitter bird is like, but X, I don't know.
I don't know.
Elon. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Okay. So if you're a musician, would you like to be interviewed on the show? Reach out to us at james@whenwordsfailmusicspeaks.com, blake@whenwordsfailmusicspeaks.com, or Amanda Dolin, D-O-L-I-N. That flows just perfectly.
It does.
I don't know. Yeah. And, when Words Fail, musicspeaks.com, or you can message us on any of the social sites Amanda mentioned before.
And please subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can watch interviews, music video reactions, vinyl showcases, and more. James is putting a lot, even like shorts and stuff like that out there. So check it out. You can find us at youtube.com/whenwordsfailmusicspeaks. Be sure to turn on the notification bell so you can be notified when new videos are uploaded. If you're currently watching this on YouTube, please belly flop that like button.
For more, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And for all of these links to find out more about us or to buy some of our amazing merchandise, you can always visit www.whenwordsfailmusicspeaks.com.
And if you get a chance, check out Blake's podcast. The other podcast that he has, which is South Carolina Spook Show. I know he has been doing a lot of stuff, especially with spooky season. It is all about spooky stuff, mysteries, true crime, all that in South Carolina.
And I do know that he released some new merchandise.
Oh, he did.
So
okay.
Sure to pick that. Yes.
I will have to go check that out. I'm so in my own little world. I will check those out. And then check out some of my stuff at the Mental Society. I really am working on stuff. I've got some new things posted. I recorded something that I'm just editing. It's been kind of a wild week. But also, if y'all are out there and you want me to talk about something, just let me know. I would love some ideas. So check it out, thementalsociety.com. Tons of resources there as well if you are needing help with your mental wellness.
Nice. Awesome. Everybody should check that out. That's awesome. And we just want to give a big shout out and thank you to our sponsors today at Bones Coffee and BetterHelp.com. Remember to use our discount code MusicSpeaks, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order at BonesCoffee.com. They got amazing flavors. And then after that, or before that, go to BetterHelp.com/MusicSpeaks to also get a 10% off your first month of therapy, and to get matched with a therapist that is perfect for you. And I think we're all done.
We are.
Do you have any other things you want to add?
No. Nope. Just go take care of yourself. Be grateful. Get some coffee. Talk to your therapist while sipping on your coffee. And live your best life. And go be spooky and dress up and be yourself. But also sometimes it's fun to pretend to be someone else. So just, do you.
There you go. And with that said, thank you everybody for listening to the show. And always remember,
when words fail,
music speaks. Bye, guys.
Bye.